This is WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you.
Your host, J. Paul Newman of the monthly District Attorney Show, will now take you on a journey to explore recent Rutherford County court cases, cold cases, and more.
We welcome everyone to the program. My name is J. Paul Newman. My co-hosts today are Rutherford County District Attorney General Jennings Jones and Rutherford County Assistant District Attorney Trevor Lynch. We thank WGNS for providing the airtime, and we also thank our producer, Scott Walker. Most of all, we thank you for listening.
In our call to conviction segment, I will highlight a brutal rape that occurred in January of 2001 in the town of Laverne, Tennessee. To protect the identity of the victim, her name will be withheld on this broadcast. To discuss this case will be Detective Cal Norod from the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office.
In our Inside the Court segment, Rutherford County District Attorney General Jennings Jones will tell us about recent and upcoming grand jury, general sessions, and circuit court activity. Then Rutherford County Assistant District Attorney Trevor Lynch, in the ever-popular What's the Law segment, will discuss an area of the law that dramatically impacts our community. We will begin our broadcast after you listen to these important messages.
Middle Tennessee Electric organizing the 23rd annual Earth Day celebration Saturday, April 20th, 10 to 2 on the square. Check out MTE's Energy Hub trailer equipped with interactive energy efficiency displays. Free fun for the whole family. Find out more at rcearthday.com.
If you're planning an upcoming trip and want to include your pet, we have all the travel supplies you'll need at Animal City. This is Amanda at Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. Animal City is Murfreesboro's hometown family-owned pet store. We've had the honor and pleasure of serving the community for 33 years. If you want to see some photos of our adorable pets, feel free to check out our Facebook page, Animal City of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. We're at 919 Northwest Broad Street, right here in Murfreesboro.
Hi, this is Peter Demas. Join our family at Demas's Restaurant. So many people buy so many different things. You know, I go out to eat and I like eating steak, where my wife will end up getting her salmon. Our salmon is cut fresh, so she loves her salmon. It's one of those places that you can go, you can get pastas or chicken. You know, the kids love it. Get what you want at Demas's Restaurant and not be limited just to one or two items. Join our family at Demas's Restaurant, 1115 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
The monthly District Attorney Show, heard exclusively on News Radio, WGNS, the first Friday of each month.
Today on the program, in our Call to Conviction segment, I will highlight a brutal rape that occurred in January of 2001 in the town of Laverne, Tennessee. To protect the identity of the victim, her name will be withheld on this broadcast. To discuss this case will be Detective Cal Norod from the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office.
From call to conviction, time now for a look back at one of the more intriguing and important cases for this community. From the crime, the investigation, to the prosecution.
In this episode of From Call to Conviction, we will travel back in time to the late night hours of January the 8th, 2001. The location is the Clayton Estates Mobile Home Park in Laverne, Tennessee. Because this is a brutal rape case, the details of this case are very disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Also, to protect the victim, we will not disclose her name. We will only refer to her as the victim.
In
It is about 11 p.m. The victim is at home with her two children when two men suddenly enter the victim's home. They are unannounced and they are unwanted. The two men immediately tie up the victim, and she is savagely raped by both men multiple times. The ordeal lasted for several hours. During the rapes, one of the two men enters the children's bedroom, picks up one of the children. The child is less than 2 years old. He takes the toddler to the victim and places the child with the mother. The victim helped the small child as she was being raped. During the rape, a fist and a water bottle were inserted inside of the victim. Also, the victim's breast was bitten. As the attack was about to end, the two attackers inflicted even more pain on the victim. In an attempt to destroy evidence of their crime, the attackers poured rubbing alcohol into the victim's mouth and in and around her private parts. They also shaved her private areas. It was approximately 5 hours before the ordeal ended and the two men left. But before they left, one of the men forcibly took the victim's credit card and the keys to her car. They later attempted to withdraw money at a local ATM machine. It was the early morning hours of January the 9th that the Laverne police were notified. The victim was taken to Southern Hills Hospital for treatment, and the Laverne Police Department began their investigation. Police learned that the victim did not know who these two men were. Detective Kyle Norrod was assigned the case. Kyle Norrod and the Laverne Police Department utilized their outstanding resources and investigative skills to identify and arrest the two men who committed this appalling crime. The arrest came within hours of the crime. It was January the 10th that the Laverne Police Department arrested 38-year-old Roger Dale Smith and 25-year-old Arlen Yates. Both men worked at the mobile home park as maintenance men and had access to the pass keys to open the victim's residence. When questioned by the police, Arlen Yates admitted his involvement. Later that same day, when Roger Dale Smith was arrested, he denied any involvement. Both Yates and Smith were booked into the Rutherford County Jail. The Rutherford County Grand Jury indicted Arlen Ray Yates and Roger Dale Smith on numerous felony charges related to the January 8th rape. Their cases were assigned to the courtroom of Judge Don R. Ash. Roger Dale Smith was represented by Rutherford County Assistant Public Defender J.D. Driver. Arlen Ray Yates was represented by Murfreesboro Attorney Jack Mitchell. The state was represented by Assistant District Attorney J. Paul Newman. On September the 24th, 2001, Arlen Yates appeared again in the courtroom of Judge Don Ash. Yates was there to enter into a plea agreement. Arlen Yates pled guilty to all of the charges against him. And pursuant to the plea agreement, Judge Ash sentenced Yates to serve 25 years in the Tennessee Department of Corrections. As part of the plea agreement, Yates agreed to testify truthfully if called as a witness in the trial of Roger Dale Smith. During the plea, Yates blamed cocaine for his actions. He also expressed remorse and apologized to the victim. During the plea, the victim was present and cried. She was comforted by family and friends. Just over a month later, on October the 19th, 2001, Roger Dale Smith was brought to the courtroom of Judge Don Ash. Smith had chosen not to go to trial and face a jury, but chose instead to enter into a negotiated plea agreement. Smith pled guilty to all of the charges against him. Roger Dale Smith did not express any remorse during the plea. Pursuant to the plea agreement, Judge Ashe sentenced Roger Dale Smith to serve 40 years in the Tennessee Department of Correction. In this broadcast, we chose that the victim should remain nameless, and instead we chose to focus on the evil actions of the defendants, the professionalism of Detective Cal Norrod, and most importantly, we wanted to focus on the courage of the victim. She was strong despite extreme abuse. She protected her children, and with the grace of God, she not only survived, but was determined to pursue justice. And in that pursuit, she became victorious. My guest today is Detective Cal Norrod of the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office. Detective Norrod, as we begin, I want you to tell us about yourself.
I've always lived in Tennessee. I grew up in a little community called Monroe, just north of Livingston, Tennessee, up near Delhalla Lake. I attended Livingston Academy, and after that I attended East Tennessee Police Academy. I always wanted to be a police officer, even as a young boy. Whenever I was young, we had a theft at the house, and I remember the sheriff's department coming out, and there was a sheriff and a detective, and they actually recovered our property, and I was so impressed by their professionalism that made me want to be a police officer even more. After I went to the police academy, I was 20 years old when I entered law enforcement. After I graduated, I worked in law enforcement for a couple of years and actually ended up going to work for Livingston Police Department. And the detective that came out and worked the case at the house was actually the chief of police at the time. And he promoted me to detective. And actually, I've been a detective pretty much since then. I've been in law enforcement in Rutherford County. I started at Laverne Police Department in 97. And I've been here ever since here in Rutherford County.
And as I understand it, when you investigated this particular case, you were with the Laverne Police Department, but now you are with the Rutherford County Sheriff's Department. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, I started at Laverne Police Department in 1997 and Rutherford County in 2011.
Well, thank you for your service. This was a case that showed the professionalism and the efficiency of the Laverne Police Department. Can you tell us who were the officers and investigators who contributed to this case being successfully prosecuted?
There was a number of officers that were involved in it. The initial officers that responded to the call was Lance Snyder, David Francis, and Conrad Call. They were the first one on scene and took the initial report. After they saw what they had, they called for a detective, and I was actually the on-call detective at the time. So I got the call, and I responded out. It was probably about 5 o'clock in the morning whenever I responded out there. Later that day, of course, as the case continued, Detective David Loftus, he started working the case with me, assisting me with the case. And we worked the case from the time we received it, which was on January the 9th. It started on January the 8th, about 11 o'clock, but we got the call about January 9th. We worked it until Smith and Yates were both locked up, and that was the early morning hours of January 10th. So we worked it straight through without stopping. And then after the initial case, there was several officers that assisted us as far as Laverne Police Department is concerned. And then, of course, after the investigation, or after the arrest, the investigation is not finished. You still have a lot of people that assisted us after that. We have evidence that we have to get analyzed and stuff like that. And thankfully, you know, we have Tennessee Bureau of Investigation to analyze our evidence. And, you know, they're one of the premier law enforcement agencies in the country and have some of the best analysts in the country. So our evidence was sent down to them. They assisted us with the case also.
We wanted to point out, and have already pointed it out, that because of the nature of this case, we did not identify the victim. We chose just to say that she was a mother of two and had a two-year-old toddler, maybe just a few months before two. Without identifying the mother, please tell us what you can.
about the mother's actions that night and how big a part she played in the investigation and the prosecution of this case.
She was actually asleep in bed, and she woke up, saw a shadow standing in her doorway. Of course, that's everyone's worst nightmare, but she initially thought that it could be her sister. Her sister lived in the neighborhood, and she thought that it may have been her sister, but then she saw a second shadow, and of course, then she knew it wasn't her sister. As the men approached her, she began fighting with them, trying to fight them off, kicking at them and stuff like that, and of course, they overpowered her. They took and tied her up. Had a knife, held it to her, and asked her if she wanted to live or die. Of course, her thoughts, her main concerns was she had a 17-month-old baby and then a toddler about 3-4 years old. That was her main concerns. They were sleeping in other rooms, and she was praying that they didn't wake up or that the men didn't harm them in any way. But even though she was being tortured by these men, that her children were on her mind. That's what she was concerned about the most. The 17-month-old was still nursing at the time and had woken up during this ordeal and started crying. And that's when Smith went and got the child and brought it to the mom. And she actually took care of the child and was feeding the child while they were raping her. After the men had left, she was able to take the children and run to her sister's house. Her sister lived in the same neighborhood. She was extremely brave during the ordeal. She provided us with all the details about the men, about the incident that she could. Whenever we started piecing together the evidence of the case, she had told us that, of course, whenever they came in, she didn't hear anything. She didn't hear any noise at all. That led us to believe that they had access to the house somehow. But also the door had been forced open, but we knew that it hadn't been forced open as they entered. So what we determined was after they entered with the pass key, they actually went back out before they left and locked the door and forced the door open to make it look like that they had forced it open when they entered. Once we began piecing the evidence together, we got an idea of who it was. We put together two photo lineups of each individual and presented those to her, and she was able to pick out both men out of both lineups and positively identify them. And she attended every court hearing, and basically her information that helped us to be able to bring these men to justice.
Can you describe what physical and emotional injuries were inflicted on the mother during the attack, and was the toddler in any way injured?
The toddler was not injured, and the child, the infant, was not injured in any way. She did receive some injuries from the attack. They punched her in the face, and they bit her breast, and they did inflict some minor injuries during the ordeal. She recovered from all those injuries. She was treated at the hospital and released that same day. Whenever they were assaulting her, they poured rubbing alcohol after they had finished assaulting. They poured rubbing alcohol on her, down her mouth and on her private area in attempts to try to cover up evidence. They also poured hydrogen peroxide on her, and it's not the type that you buy at the drugstore. She was a hairstylist, so she had some of that at her house. It's for bleaching hair and stuff like that, and it's a lot more powerful and potent, and burns. It can cause burns, and they poured that on her also.
Also, did they ever threaten to set her on fire?
They did. Whenever they poured the alcohol and stuff on her, they were telling her at the time that it was gasoline and that they would set her on fire. And, of course, they also held a knife to her, told her that they would cut her, and was threatening. They asked her several times if she wanted to live or die.
This case stands out to me for many reasons, but what stands out from a prosecution standpoint is that this was a very serious case, and you had a quick arrest. What caused you to be able to make such a quick arrest?
In a case like this, it takes everyone working together. It starts with the victim. You know, we need information from them. And, of course, after going through an ordeal like this, it's not always easy for them to give us information. They may be fearful of what may happen, or sometimes they block out stuff whenever something like this happens. But in this case, she was instrumental in helping us with this case, giving us detailed information, stuff like that. She was brave and strong in that aspect. It takes cooperation from witnesses. We talked to Clayton Estates management because we had recovered some evidence, like glove and some other stuff at the location. And with the information about that, we felt that they had a pass key. We went and talked with them, got information with them. And actually, these two people that committed this crime, they worked for Clayton Estates in the maintenance department, and they both called out sick that morning. They had left a glove behind, and we checked about the glove, and they did say that appeared to be the same type gloves that their maintenance people were issued, and they purchased those gloves locally. And we went to that local store and confirmed that was the type of gloves that they carried there, and it was also the type of gloves that they sold to Clayton Estates. It takes everybody working together, and then, of course, after they're locked up, you know, hard work at the DA's office ensuring that they're prosecuted and receive what they should.
What can you tell us about Arlen Ray Yates?
Arlen Yates, he was 25 years old at the time, very little history. He didn't have very much history at all, as far as I think he had one arrest prior to that, and I think it was a misdemeanor arrest. He was just a young man that I think that was very impressionable, and I think that he followed Smith's lead on this.
And what can you tell us about Roger Dale Smith?
Roger did have a more extensive arrest history. He had been arrested several times, and he was older. He was, I believe, 38 at the time. So he had been working at Clayton Estates considerably longer than Arlen Yates had.
And who do you believe was the leader, if there was a leader?
I definitely believe it was Roger Smith. I definitely believe he was the leader in it. He showed no remorse, and he was, I believe, the actual ringleader. He actually stole items from the victim. He gave directions during the assault, and he was actually the one that took the victim's credit card and to get money out.
Detective Norod, I'm proud to say that although this was a horrible crime, it is a crime that was solved. We want to thank you and the other members of the Laverne Police Department for the excellent work that was performed in bringing these two dangerous criminals to justice. Congratulations on a job well done.
If you missed any part of this program, it will be available shortly as a podcast on the WGNS website.
My grandmother and Ms. Adams were best friends. I mean, she said, Betty, you need to come to Adams' place. You'd love it.
We're talking with Betty Kirksey.
They go above and beyond of what their job is. I wish Ms. Adams was still living so I could tell her, you were right. It is where I should be, and it's very nice.
I'm Terry Deal. Call me for more information about Adams Place, located at 1927 Memorial Boulevard, across from Walmart.
If you're looking for an authentic relationship with financial experts who genuinely care about your unique needs, Capstar Bank is for you. Capstar Bank is dedicated to the people of this community. Capstar Bank wants to help you reach your financial goals, because at Capstar Bank, you matter to us. Capstar Bank, 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, capstarbank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
This is Inside the Courts, a look at this month's trials, pleas, and grand jury action. Inside the Courts is presented as a courtesy of the Rutherford County Clerk's Office.
Good morning, everyone. This is your District Attorney General, Jennings Jones, and today I will be your tour guide through this episode of Inside the Courts. We begin this segment by stating that none of the defendants named in upcoming trials or hearings have been convicted, and of course, they are presumed by our law to be innocent. With that as a prelude, we will now go inside the courts. On February the 15th of last year, officers with the Murfreesboro Police Department responded to a 911 call of shots fired at an apartment complex on Puckett Creek's crossings. Officers discovered the body of Miss Rebecca Stockton on the floor of her apartment. Miss Stockton had been shot multiple times. Detective Julie Cox was assigned as the lead investigator in this case. Miss Stockton's live-in boyfriend, Salim Hamilton, was missing. A manhunt for Mr. Hamilton was ordered, and Mr. Hamilton was located in Corbin, Kentucky. Mr. Hamilton was found to be in possession of the rental car of Miss Stockton and a .40 caliber semi-automatic handgun. Miss Stockton was shot and killed with a .40 caliber semi-automatic handgun. Miss Hamilton was arrested for possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. Mr. Hamilton was later charged with first-degree murder by the Murfreesboro Police Department and has been extradited back to Tennessee from Corbin, Kentucky. A preliminary hearing was held on January 4th of this year, and the General Sessions Court bound the case over for presentation to a Rutherford County grand jury. The state will be represented in this case by Assistant District Attorney Trevor Lynch. The defendant is represented by Mr. Chris Fisher. On March 16th of last year, officers with the Murfreesboro Police Department were dispatched to a residence on Swanson Lane in response to a 911 call. Upon arrival, officers located the body of Thatsophone Cesarino. Mrs. Cesarino had been beaten to death in her garage and her throat had been cut. The victim's husband, Focam Cesarino, was unaccounted for and was later found covered in blood. After conducting an interview of Mr. Cesarino, he was charged with first-degree murder. Detective Doug Arrington with the Murfreesboro Police Department has been assigned as the lead investigator in this case. On November 1st of last year, the case was bound over for presentation to a Rutherford County grand jury. The next scheduled court date will be April the 15th of this year. The state will be represented in this case by Assistant District Attorney Sarah Davis. On the 6th of October, 2022, officers with the Laverne Police Department were dispatched to a residence on Almondwood Place in Laverne, Tennessee, in response to a shooting that resulted in the death of the homeowner, Miss Robin Taylor. Detective Tanner Noakes has been assigned as the lead investigator. Miss Taylor's sister, Candace Davis, was on scene when officers arrived. After initially claiming an unknown subject shot her sister and ran away, Miss Davis later changed her story and claimed her sister attacked her and she shot Miss Taylor in self-defense. Upon conclusion of Detective Noakes' investigation and in light of the evidence collected on the scene, it was determined that Miss Davis was not justified in shooting Miss Taylor and she was subsequently charged with second-degree murder. A preliminary hearing was held on November the 4th of 2022. At that hearing, the court heard witness testimony and determined that probable cause existed to bind the matter over to the Rutherford County Grand Jury. The next scheduled court date will be April the 15th of this year. The defendant is represented by Mr. Thompson Kirkpatrick. The state will be represented by Assistant District Attorney Trevor Lynch. On July the 6th of 2022, deputies with the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office responded to a residence on Panther Creek Road in response to a shooting. After receiving a 911 call, deputies discovered the body of Mr. Clarence Rowden. Mr. Rowden had been shot multiple times. Witnesses identified Jeffrey Burris as the shooter. Mr. Burris was located and found to be in possession of a firearm. He was taken into custody and interviewed by Detective Kyle Norod. Detective Norod was assigned as the lead investigator in this case. Upon the conclusion of the investigation, Mr. Burris was charged with first-degree murder of Mr. Rowden. On December 8th of 2022, Mr. Burris appeared in the General Sessions Courts of Rutherford County and bound his case over to the grand jury. The next scheduled court date is April the 15th of this year. Mr. Burris is represented by counsel, Mr. Josh Crane, and the state is represented by Assistant District Attorney Trevor Lynch. On September the 8th of 2019, officers with the Murfreesboro Police Department responded to a shooting on Journey Drive. Officers discovered Marquise Turner had been shot on the sidewalk after leaving an event at the Elks Lodge. Mr. Turner died from his injuries. Detective Cody Thomas of the Murfreesboro Police Department has been assigned as the lead investigator and has developed Khalil Smith as a suspect. Upon conclusion of his investigation, Mr. Smith was charged with second-degree murder and possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. Khalil Smith is presently incarcerated at the Rutherford County Adult Detention Center. A preliminary hearing was held on April the 6th of 2022. And in August, a Rutherford County grand jury indicted Mr. Smith for second-degree murder, possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, and employing a firearm during the commission of a dangerous felony. Mr. Smith's next court date is set for April the 19th of this year in the Circuit Courts of Rutherford County. Mr. Smith is represented by counsel, Ms. Whitney Racky. The state is represented by Assistant District Attorney Trevor Lynch.
On February the 12th of 2022, the Murfreesboro Police Department responded to a parking lot on Middle Tennessee Boulevard in response to a shooting. Upon arrival, officers discovered at least five individuals had been struck by gunfire. Two individuals had been shot multiple times, including Mr. Brandon Anderson, who later died from his injuries. Detective Cody Thomas has been assigned as the lead investigator in this case. Upon conclusion of his investigation, detectives charged Mr. Jamar Marks with first-degree murder, attempted first-degree murder, three counts of aggravated assault, employing a firearm during the commission of a dangerous felony, possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, and reckless endangerment with a deadly weapon. Mr. Marks appeared before the General Sessions Court in Rutherford County on June 30th of 2022. Mr. Marks waived a preliminary hearing and voluntarily bound the matter over to a Rutherford County grand jury. The next scheduled court appearance is set for May the 9th of this year. Mr. Marks is represented by counsel, Mr. Michael Rexroth. The state will be represented by Assistant District Attorney Trevor Lynch. On August the 30th of 2022, officers with the Smyrna Police Department responded to a shooting at a gas station on Sam Ridley Parkway. Mr. Nicholas Patterson had been shot during the course of an attempted robbery. Mr. Patterson later died as a result of his injuries. Surveillance video showed an armed subject enter the store, point his firearm at Mr. Patterson, fire at least one shot into the ceiling of the store, and then shoot Mr. Patterson before running out of the store. Detective Steve Hanna with the Smyrna Police Department has been assigned as the lead investigator in this case. As a result of two other robberies, one in Brentwood, Tennessee, and one in Nashville, Tennessee, Mr. Key Anthony Williams was identified as a suspect. Upon execution of a search warrant, Mr. Williams was taken into custody and found to be in possession of a firearm. Mr. Williams was interviewed by law enforcement, and at the conclusion of the interview, Mr. Williams was charged with first-degree murder, attempted aggravated robbery, and possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. A preliminary hearing was held in the General Sessions Courts of Smyrna, Tennessee, and the matter was bound over to a Rutherford County grand jury. The next scheduled court date will be May the 16th of this year. Mr. Williams is represented by counsel, Mr. Ben Wetzel, with the Public Defender's Office, and the state is represented by Assistant District Attorney Matt Westmoreland and Trevor Lynch. On the 6th of April, 2022, officers with the Murfreesboro Police Department responded to an apartment complex on Old Las Casas Road. The body of Mr. Ryan Walcott was found beaten and stabbed to death. Mr. Walcott was left lying on the floor of his apartment. Detective Julie Cox has been assigned as the lead investigator. Alistair Jennings, one of Mr. Walcott's roommates, has been developed as a suspect. Detective Cox's investigation revealed in physical evidence and witness statements that connected Mr. Jennings to the murder of Mr. Walcott. Mr. Jennings was charged with first-degree murder on August the 12th of 2022. A preliminary hearing was held in General Sessions Court of Rutherford County, and upon proof presented by the state, the court bound the matter over for presentation to a grand jury. The defendant's next scheduled court appearance is June 5th of this year. The defendant is represented by counsel, Mr. Ben Wetzel, with the Public Defender's Office, while the state is represented by Assistant District Attorneys Matt Westmoreland and Trevor Lynch. On February the 13th of last year, officers with the Murfreesboro Police Department responded to a 911 call in reference to a stabbing at a residence on Ransom Drive. Upon entry, officers discovered the body of Mr. Philip Maddox on a bedroom floor. Mr. Maddox had been stabbed multiple times. Witnesses on scene advised that Mr. Maddox's roommate, Malik Smith, attempted to stab Mr. Maddox. Officers located Mr. Smith, and Mr. Smith confirmed the witness's claim that he had in fact stabbed Mr. Maddox. Detective David Miller with the Murfreesboro Police Department has been assigned as the lead investigator in this case. After a search of the residence, collection of evidence, and interviewing of all witnesses, Mr. Smith was charged with first-degree murder. On May the 31st of this past year, a preliminary hearing was held and the court found probable cause to bind the matter over to a grand jury. The next scheduled court date is on June 27th of this year. Mr. Smith is represented by counsel, Ms. Whitney Rocky. The state is represented by Assistant District Attorney Trevor Lynch.
A trial is scheduled to begin on May 20th of this year on Mr. Gregory Lyons for the allegations of first-degree murder, attempt to sell a Schedule I substance, conspiracy to sell a Schedule I substance, and employing a firearm during the commission of a dangerous felony. Mr. Lyons is represented by Mr. Will Fraley, while the state will be represented by Assistant District Attorneys Matt Westmoreland and Trevor Lynch. A trial is scheduled to begin on August 12th of this year against Mr. Martavius Guy, represented by Mr. Ben Powers, Mr. Mikeo Boyd, represented by Mr. Michael Rexroth, and Mr. Paul Turner, represented by Mr. Josh Crane and Mr. Tevin Campbell, represented by Ms. Heather Parker. The defendants faces charges of first-degree murder, attempted especially aggravated robbery, employing a firearm during an offense, and conspiracy to commit aggravated robbery. The state is represented by Assistant District Attorney Trevor Lynch. A trial is scheduled for September the 23rd of this year on Yo Sincere Fomfen for allegations of first-degree murder, attempted aggravated robbery, possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, and tampering with evidence. Mr. Fomfen is represented by counsel Mr. Jack Mitchell, while the state is represented by Assistant District Attorneys Trevor Lynch and Haley Ranieri. A trial is scheduled to begin on November the 18th of this year on Mr. Irwin Odom for an allegation of first-degree murder. Mr. Odom is represented by counsel Mr. Josh Crane, while the state will be represented by Assistant District Attorney Sarah Davis. And that will conclude today's look inside the courts.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency on earth, and if you owe back taxes, the news isn't good. The IRS is raising the interest rate it charges on unpaid taxes, and further rate hikes are expected. Most people don't know it, but the IRS adds interest charges to your tax debts daily. So if you owe the IRS today, you'll owe even more tomorrow. And it doesn't stop until you get right with the IRS. The good news is getting right can start with one phone call to Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax relief firm. Optima's tax professionals specialize in the Fresh Start Initiative, a powerful IRS program that can save you thousands if you qualify. In fact, the experts at Optima have resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients. Call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-367-6289. 800-367-6289. 800-367-6289.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
What's the law?
Time now for an examination of the laws of Tennessee. This is not intended to be legal advice and is being presented solely for the informational benefit of our listening audience. You should always consult with an attorney whenever you need or rely on legal advice.
Good morning, everyone. This is Assistant District Attorney General Trevor Lynch. We are not going to be having an episode of What's the Law. That will resume next month, and that will be presented by Chadwick Doherty. Chadwick has been a legal intern with our office for the past several months now, and just recently has been offered a position with our office to begin in May. Chadwick, if you would please tell the ladies and gentlemen, what will they be hearing about next month?
Next month, we will be discussing the difference between the Fifth and Sixth Amendments, but more specifically, when someone can request an attorney and how those apply to each individual. Thank you.
As we end our program today, we thank our producer, Scott Walker. We thank WGNS for providing the airtime. We also thank our special guest from the Rutherford County Sheriff's Department, Detective Cal Norrod. Most of all, we thank you for listening. We leave by saying, a safe community is the responsibility of each and every one of us. For my two co-hosts, Jennings Jones and Trevor Lynch, this is Paul Newman, bidding all of you a safe and blessed day.
The District Attorney's Office thanks you for listening to today's program. If you have any information regarding criminal activity in our community, please contact one of our law enforcement agencies. The information presented on today's show is solely for informational benefit and not intended to be legal advice. You should always consult an attorney whenever you need or rely on legal advice. Rutherford County's most trusted name in news. Talk Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro. The GNS in our call stands for Good Neighbor Station. That's been our objective since 1947. WGNS, AM, FM, and online.